And Father, we come to you now. We honor you and we bless you. We thank you for this time of worship and praise, Lord God. We thank you for allowing for us to be in your presence once again. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I have a couple of announcements for you. Thank you, singers. I appreciate it. Before we go into this morning's service. Hallelujah Night was this past Thursday. We had a wonderful and glorious time. I was not able to attend because I was working in Chicago. Got a chance to see a little bit of snow. But thankfully, hopefully next year I will be able to be there on a Friday. So it was a wonderful and great time. A lot of people got a chance to do a lot of... I hear somebody, Google phone. Turn it off, please. Thank you. Appreciate it, though. So a lot of people were jumping around. It was a wonderful and glorious time. And so I hope and pray that, you know, as we have events and things of that nature moving forward, make sure that you support. Just as a quick little side note, I believe that one of the most difficult things that churches have to go through, and especially when it comes to the people of God, is this thing about support and unity. A lot of times when it comes to support and unity, that's like one of the most difficult things to have to deal with, people actually becoming or actually coming together. And so I want to feel like you support me. I want to feel like it's not a pulling teeth for you to be able to be a part of events, to come together and do things outside of Sunday. Amen. I don't want you to feel like, or I don't want you to come to the church just trying to get through the morning and trying to get it over with. When you get to the point where you come to church just to try to get it over with, and that's the death of a church. And so I need your support. I need your support because we're trying to do things together and we're trying to move forward. Wednesday on November the 6th at 7 p.m., there will be Bible study, food, and fellowship, which will begin at 7:30 p.m. This week, the culinary team is preparing another delicious meal for you and your family. The menu will be chicken Alfredo with broccoli and garlic knots served with sweet tea, lemonade, or water to drink. The price is only $5 per adult and $2.50 per child. Also, don't forget that our community outreach is collecting blankets through December the 4th for our annual holiday blanket giveaway. If you need additional information, please see Sister Latoya Lewis or Akilah Hughes for that. Please make sure that you mute that button, Jamar, the one that causes issues. Thank you. Also, make sure that you save the date for Friday, November the 22nd at 7 p.m. Club Fire Classic Weekend Edition is coming up. I'm looking forward to it. My parents happen to be driving in on that particular weekend. I look forward to seeing them. So make sure that you come on out and make sure that you invite someone to attend. It's going to be a great and glorious event. We have lots of artists, both past, present, and future, that will become a part of this particular event. And also come to find out that we will be hosting a 3-in-1 cafe with a brother and sister Marcus and Joyette Gaines. They'll be kicking off their event on December the 6th. December the 6th in our sanctuary. So God is already trying to put some things together in order for us to be able to evangelize and let people know what's going on in the community. We're going to be inviting people. He knows that there's a need for evangelism inside of our church. And so he wants to try to bring people into the house of the Lord. We're a good church. We believe that we have loving and godly people that's trying to point individuals into the right direction, but we also need our internal support. And I'm going to talk about that, and I might even be pulling a couple of families aside after service to just really make sure that we're on the same page in regards to your support. So don't rush out the door before you leave. I want to know that if you're really with me, be with me. If it's getting to the point to where you feel like you need to go into a different direction, let's talk about that, and I'll release you with love and without there being any type of consternation on my end. A lot of pastors won't necessarily do that, but if you feel like this is not the place for you, then let's just be adults and let's just say so. Not for everyone, and I understand that, but I know that there's people that are for this ministry and do want to move in the right direction. Also, Saturday, November the 23rd, from 12 to 1 p.m., our community outreach ministry will also be serving Thanksgiving dinner at Pathways to Care. We will need volunteers to help with preparation, so see Sister LaToya Lewis for more information. I believe that she's working this morning, so make sure that you just drop her an email as well. Fantasy football is still going on. We want to make sure that we keep abreast of that and make sure that our records come forward with that. We were supposed to, I do want to send out one quick apology. We were trying to get together the intensity retreat for our men that was supposed to go on in November, but we kind of dropped the ball on that. So we're going to try that again next year. The men who are a part of the congregation, make sure that you keep up with the dates, events, the calendar, so that we can move forward as appropriate. That's all that I need to say about that. Also, Truth Learning Academy is continuing its enrollment and growing weekly. Make sure that you spread the word to your friends, families, and coworkers. We're going to try to put some other incentives in there as well. And the family room is not available today because it is not set up. So just keep your children inside. If they get active, you can take them to the lobby as well. Amen? Amen. I want to welcome all of our first-time guests. I know we had one of them that was got called on the phone. So if you see her again, just tell her that we love her and we appreciate her coming to the sanctuary once again today. Amen, amen. Now let's go ahead and give. Go ahead and get a seat in your hand. The Snack Shack, that's what they're over there busy doing even at this moment in time. Show your support for the ministry. Let me have a quick transparent moment. From May to about September, we gave 50% less. It's kind of like one of the typical things that happened to during the summer. But just be mindful that the church does not belong to Pastor Martin and Lady Martin. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We have a lot of things, a lot of expenditures that go out of our pockets personally, whether it's the daycare. We do have a daycare, but we need to understand that the church is not supporting things like how it can support. We start off the year really good. We start off the year very powerfully, but we still have people who, despite the things that we're doing and despite the communications, are still not giving like how they can. And that's why I'm going to be speaking with a couple of families after church today in regards to that, just to see where you are. We need to know where you are. I'm talking about members here. I'm not talking about people who are not members of the church who have actually pledged their commitment to the ministry. So make sure that you sow consistently. Make sure that you understand that if we have a ministry that has, for example, $7,000 in things that we got to get taken care of from month to month, that $20 does not work. It does not work. So if $20 does not work, then where is the other $6,980 coming from? I cannot pay your tithe and offering every single month. I cannot do that personally. Or we need to stop as a ministry. Amen. That's where I'm talking about as far as having regular support. The people who are doing what they're supposed to do, I'm not talking about you at all. I'm talking about those who are a part of the ministry, whether they're watching online, that have been a part of this ministry for a certain length and period of time. Don't show up and do not support. We need your support regardless of whether you're here or not, monetarily, in service, and in attendance. That's what good church people do. We don't want to just have church. We want to be a healthy church so when the visitors come in, that they know that that they could become a part of something that's really doing great things in the community, and we have that track record. Amen. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you and we bless you, Lord God. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, Lord God, for the offerings that you are about to receive, Heavenly Father. Lord God, for the individuals that have not given for months or even several months, Heavenly Father, put it upon their heart to support this ministry as they should. We thank you, Lord God, for those that have been giving, have been serving, have been inviting people to church, that have been trying to reach out for souls, Lord God. Give them the strength and endurance to continue forward. Let them be encouraged, even in these dry and desolate times that we live in. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, that shouldn't depress you. That shouldn't be like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? No, we got a really good thing that's going on, and we want to make sure that we finish strong as we go into our 10th year. Our 10th year. 10 years is not easy for a church, for a pastor, especially a pastor of color, to go through and to deal with. So let's make sure that we finish the year strong, because I want to make it to year 20, I want to make it to year 30, and I want to hand it off to someone else that can carry the torch forward. Amen? Amen. Be blessed, people of God.
Right.
See if we could pull this ox ahead on this wonderful and blessed Sunday morning. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. I'm going to imagine that I'm taking my body and I'm going to sit it in that seat and listen to what the Lord has to say even on this wonderful and blessed Sunday morning. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 through 8 says, and this is in the New Living Translation, and it says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. Always salty. But verse 7 says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Amen. And the title of this morning's message is, That's on God. That's on God. Thank you so much. Is he going to make it? I believe he will. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, my brother. People have a strong tendency to put their trust in temporary and fragile things that lack consistency and true integrity. We know this to be true because many have seen or experienced, matter of fact, have also consoled someone who has been disappointed or betrayed on a very personal level. Comments such as, I can't trust anyone, or I can only trust myself, give credence to the pain one endures when being let down over and over again. This is the reason why sometimes when people come to the church for a first time after a long time, or when you come to a new body of believers, you're trying to figure out who's going to hurt you next. But it shouldn't be that way, especially since most of the time we've been on the side where we've actually hurt someone else. So we're not always the innocent one. But it does happen. People put up walls. People block individuals out. Sometimes it takes months for you to carry on a conversation with the individual, all because they have had a pain point in their lives that they could point to some individual that broke their trust on a deep level. Sometimes that one is God himself. God, how could you allow for this to happen? If you loved me, then you would not have allowed for this person to be taken away from me, to be moved out of my life, for me to lose my job, lose my house, lose my spouse. It is unfair. I am angry at you. Church folk, they better not say anything or else I'm out of here. Pain. You said that you would be there. You said, talk about ways where people sometimes have their trust being broken. You said that you would wouldn't cheat on me. You said that you would pick me up on a date, or that you would come and take me and my sister for the weekend. You said death do us part. You said that you would care for the kids while I'm studying. You said that you would come to church next Sunday. You said that you were going to bring someone. You said that if you would got the job that you prayed for, that you would give. That you would stop if you saw my tears. That you wouldn't lie on me, die on me. And now I'm left all alone with nothing but memories and no closure. Lord, have mercy. No wonder there are so many trust issues that create walls so high that it actually traps the person on the inside. And please don't get me started about the several times that we have let ourselves down. How many of you have ever let yourself down? You said that you were going to do it, and then you knew that you didn't, and then your conscience starts messing with you. You said that you were going to give this preacher one chance. But somehow he reminded you of someone from the past that he doesn't even know anything about. And then you cannot connect. We try to do better. I know I do. I know that sometimes I'm very hard on myself, especially when it comes to improving myself for the people of God, for my family, for my children. I have high standards. And sometimes that could be a very difficult thing to deal with. Especially when things start getting out of your control. But you know what this tells me? It tells me that there has to be something bigger than ourselves, and that when you can't do anything else for yourself or others, that trusting God becomes paramount. There's one thing that I've learned, and it seems like it's simple, but it's very profound, that you cannot make anyone do anything that they do not want to do. You can't make someone love you. I can't make you love me. Can't make you give, can't make you serve, can't make you honor God, obey God, be faithful. None of those things, you can't make anyone do it. You can try to control it for a little bit or a little time, a little while, but after a while, you begin to revert right back to who you really are. If you are selfish and ungrateful, and God has not transformed your heart, then you could put certain types of controlling things in place, but you will revert right back to who you really are. And so when people let us down and when things let us down, that's why we have to rely and trust on God, in God. Sometimes we have to say, hey, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to put that on God. I hope you get it. So here's some practical ways to depend on God alone, especially when you don't have anyone to rely on. The first way is prayer. This means talking to God. I'm amazed at how many people are saying right now, enough with thoughts and prayers. What you're saying is enough with talking to God. Enough with speaking to Him to give us guidance. He's not doing anything anyway. Well, that's because we don't track His every move. And typically when we take our eyes off of what's going on in and on around us, we don't know that He still keeps on working day and night, trying to put things together, not trying, but putting things together on our behalf. So we have to talk to God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and by supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, as a result," this is how it's supposed to work, "and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I know that I need the peace of God this morning. I know I want to share the peace of God with you even on today. So you got to pray. You got to ask God. You got to talk to God. You have to allow for communication to go back and forth. Dewan, could you please get my son from the door back there and put him on the front row? I love him. That's why I'm going to keep him close. Thank you. So we have to pray and talk to God on a regular basis. Number two, we have to honor God's word. What do I mean by that? Well, To honor God's word means to look at the source of timeless information. A lot of times people like to mockingly say, well, you know, the Bible is some Bronze Age mythology that no longer needs to apply. But the last time I checked, evil is evil, no matter if it's 6,000 years ago or currently. Love is still love, whether it's 7,000 or 8,000 years ago or currently. Human nature is still human nature. People still have issues, problems, and circumstances from many years ago, and they still have the same problems, situations, and circumstances right now. It's just that the methodology has changed, the technology has changed, but human character has stayed the same. Thankfully, God has also stayed the same. And being that he is the manufacturer of mankind, he knows distinctly how to deal with us, and he has told us in his word. So instead of going to some type of foreign forum or some type of group with carnal people that's trying to tell you how to lead your life and how to get out of the situation that you're in, how to get a man, how to get a woman, how to deal with things, and hearing from people that don't have a clue what they're talking about, why not talk to the ancient one himself? Why not read God's word? It's very important for us to understand God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word became flesh. That's what John 1:1 says. And that flesh became or dwelled among us. Jesus is not some sort of teacher or just some prophet. He is God. Besides him, there is none other. So if he was in the beginning with God, and he created the worlds, and the word is God, then that means he's synonymous. He's not a created thing. People ask, and they say the question, well, who created God? As if he's some sort of created thing, but he is eternal. So when you talk to him and when you get into his word in its proper context from teachers that are true students of the word, you will learn more about him. So we have to pray. That means talking to God. Number two, honor God's word. Go to that source of timeless information. And three, I love this, as Spike Lee said, do the right thing. Be obedient. So you got to talk to him. That develops a form of intimacy. You have to honor God's word. That means that you have to do more than just see a scripture on Facebook. You have to read it. You have to understand and try to get certain types of situations and circumstances. If you're going through something, try to find your story in the text. It may not be a like for like on the surface, but it's a like for like as far as its depths and concepts are concerned. And then finally, doing the right thing, being obedient. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 through 18 in the New Living says, now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. And I'm going to qualify that in just a moment. You see, this is the Old Testament, and we know that we no longer need to look at goats and bulls and rams and sacrifice things with blood. No one does that today. It's an unclean type of thing, but that's what the ancient Hebrews used to do in order to justify themselves before God when they did wrong. And how many of you know we don't have goats and chickens in our yards atoning for our sins on a regular basis? That's why we need to step into the kingdom. When you step into the kingdom, your honor and you following the commands is not driven by if God is going to get you or if there is some type of law that you need to break or you need to hold like the Ten Commandments. You're doing it because of what Jesus did on the cross. It is a motivation of love, not out of a motivation of fear. That's contrary because people like to follow rules and they like to follow instructions when it suits them. But then when you have to give love to someone else, that's a hard thing to do. But the scripture goes on to say, if you do this, you will live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. That's what the blessing side is. That's what doing and following God will lead to. You will be fruitful. You'll multiply. You will be productive. There's nothing worse than an unproductive Christian that has access to all the things that God has for them. The word, the worship, the place, the people, and still will not grow. There's something wrong with the root. Something needs to be cut off. something needs to be uprooted and planted in the right place. And sometimes we need to unblock ourselves. Notice what the contrast is and says in verse 17. It says, but if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen to sound godly advice, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, how you feel, what things look like, money, materialistic type things, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. So what we're doing is that we're talking and we're looking at the ancient Hebrews as an example of a deeper truth for us today. They were the forerunners, but as we are here now in our current time in the kingdom of God, under the auspices of Jesus Christ, we need to understand that, hey, God gives you a choice. I want to bless you. I want you to listen to me. I want you to follow me and my word. This is what I have laid out for you. But if you're disobedient, don't worry. Unlike the Old Testament where there was no grace, I have given you some grace. I'll give you a second chance for you to get on the right path. But after you've been told over and over and over again, if you do not decide to continue to follow, then you're going to get in a lot of trouble. So do the right thing. Follow God even when it's inconvenient. Preach the gospel even when it seems like you don't have the right words to say. Continue to minister to others, including your enemies, because God did not just call you to just talk to those that you get along with. It doesn't take any strength. It doesn't take any strength in order to be able to deal with someone that you love and you care about. The word says that you should love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Give to those that despitefully use you. That takes real strength. Even the heathen has that type of mindset to where if you do something for me, I'm going to do something for you. But what happens if you don't do anything for me? Should I stop coming to church? Should I stop preaching? No. When you love as God loves, you keep on going because you want to please him and not them. Number four, the next thing that you need to do when it comes to reliance on God is to be a living sacrifice. One of the things I teasingly like to say many times when I see people getting up in the middle of the night on Facebook is that I like to say, give it to God and go to sleep. Because the scripture says God gives rest to those that he loves. But what happens if you fill you up all night long? Well, you have to rest in the promises of God. In other words, he'll give you sweet peace. But sometimes we're not at peace with ourselves because we keep our own minds going. So God is like, here's the bed, lay in it. No, I got stuff I want to think about and think some more about. But just thinking doesn't mean action, does it? Mulling over doesn't lead to action. It just means that you're just thinking and laying and thinking and stressing yourself out about things that you cannot control. So give it to God and go to sleep. Take it to God and stay woke. What I mean by woke is not just you up in the middle of the night. I'm talking to you about you being aware of what God can do for you, bringing you peace and just basically saying, hey, I've got this. He's got this. He's got it all under control. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And I love this part. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That means that you got to die to yourself. That's not easy. It is not easy to do what God has said for you to do. It is not easy to love the unlovable, forgive the unforgivable, serve when you want to be served, move when God says move. It takes time. That's the reason why the children of Israel went in the wilderness for all those 40 years, because a lot of the Egyptian type of mindset The carnal world was still in their system. So they had to continue to roll around in circles over and over again. It's like the same person asking the same questions over and over again. And the people give them the same type of answers, but they don't act upon what they heard. And it's like they are going in circles round and around until there's no one around them. We have to follow God, and we have to listen. I believe many preachers today are like Noah, to where we're telling the people that it's going to rain, but the people are not listening. And so it seems like what I believe, and I told individuals this just the other day, that there has to be some type of very harsh event that the people of God, this region, this city, has to go through in order to put God first. It seems like it's going that way. But I hope and pray that we listen in advance. The next one, number five, is to abide in Christ. That means stay connected in worship to God and his people. In other words, unity is strength. I see it so many times. I see it online. We just can't come together. If we would only be able to come together, then we will be able to really make some things happen if we would just unify. But guess what? You can't unify with 50 different leaders. You have to unify with someone at the forefront that's moving forward and moving ahead. That's why the church is such a unique entity. As many people that try to tear away and try to tear down and say that you no longer need a pastor, we don't need to be members. You got people who are anti-pastor, anti-church, and all these different types of things. It is one of the few entities on the entire planet where you have true unity that is not bound by race or creed or color. It's by Jesus Christ and his blood that we continue to move together. It's just that people try to break off into their own factions or their own sects. S-E-C-T-S. And try to do things on their own, and then we wonder why things go so slow. Divine truth, we could do a lot more if we would just unify beyond Sunday morning. Beyond Sunday morning. We have to unify throughout the week. We have to unify in one heart, one mind, and in one spirit. Unity is strength. You don't believe me? Let's look at John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Remain in the body. Remain in Christ, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. How come things are not moving the way that I want to in life? Are you in Jesus? Or do you just attend a church service? Are you talking to God? Are you listening to his word? Are you getting in his word? And the highest level of learning is synthesis. That means that are you applying his word to your life? I always tell this about people, and I said this for many years in the past. You tell what people really love to do by looking at what they spend the most money on and what they talk about the most. So guess what? If you spend your money on things outside of God and you talk about things outside of God a whole lot, then guess how much God is a part of your life? Very little. But we want to say that God's not working for us anymore. And that he's no longer relevant, but we've made him irrelevant. You have to put God first in everything, or by the time you turn 68 years old, you're going to be in the same place. And then you'll be enviously looking at people who have gone on because they've been obedient to God, who don't have all the things that you have, but they've moved past you all because they've worshiped God. Just think about all the people who sat and watched Joshua and Caleb go into the promised land. While they stayed and died in the wilderness. I don't know about you, but I would feel some kind of way. I felt some kind of way when I saw people going to college and I was still there waiting for my acceptance letter. I felt some kind of way when people got accepted into the program when I did finally make it to college and they got into a program, but I had to go through another year because I wasn't getting serious about my work. No one is going to bless you for you. You have to make sure that you abide in Christ so that he can give you instructions so that you can move forward. And then you have to follow those instructions. And this is where number six comes in, and I'm coming around the mountain this morning. And that means to embrace godly decision making. In other words, you have to say that's on God over and over again. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, or he will direct your path. What is that? That means that you have to trust God even when you can't trace him. Trust God when you can't even find him. Trust God when you're not getting fast answers on a regular basis. You have to trust him despite what's going on in your household. You have to trust God despite the losses that you've experienced in life. Everybody's lost someone. Everyone's lost something. Everybody has gone through some things. And sometimes you just have to trust God despite what is going on in your life. This scripture, Proverbs 3, is what I'm speaking of, teaches a different mindset. In other words, it's not me going to people who don't know anything about God for advice over and over and over again, and they're not going anywhere themselves. How are you going to ask advice from a person that's on your same level? How are you going to ask advice from somebody that is beneath or asking you for advice? If somebody is asking you advice, you can't confide in them. If someone is on your level, you can be with arms with each other and they can empathize with you, but they can't pull you out of the same hole because both of you are all on the bottom floor at the same time. The person that can pull you out is the one that is ahead of you, the one that has the dreams and visions that you aspire for, not out of envy, but somewhere where you want to be. That takes a different mindset. That means that my decision making can't go the way that I have done it for the last 20 or 30 years. If the last 20 or 30 years have gotten you nowhere, then guess what has to change? You do. You do. You see, this type of mindset is the type that places God at the forefront of decision making at every level. And even the times when we don't know what else to do or when we are confused on what to do next, we still have to rely and put that on God. It further teaches that we depend on God for salvation, wisdom, and practically everything. In Psalms chapter 18, verse 2, it says that we see, and we can see the Lord's reliability in the threefold description. In other words, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. He is our foundation that represents the rock. In other words, I can stand on him when everyone else is crumbling all around. He is my protection. He will be there for you. And even if something happens to you, it does not mean that that is the end of your life. God, if you were so good, then why did you allow for this to happen? Remember, as a Christian, as a believer, God did not promise that things would not happen to us. We are not in heaven. We can't make this planet heaven. No human can make this planet heaven. People can come together, but guess what? People are not God. There's going to be some level of wickedness. There's going to be some level of sin that's going to bubble to the surface. So we must depend on him for salvation, wisdom, and practically everything. Not only is he our foundation, not only is he our protection, but he is also our deliverer. What that means in simple terms is that he is our answer when troubles in this life ensnare us. When you can't quite get out of the same situation. I believe that's what the spirit was this morning and over the house this morning, is that many of the people of God in this place today are in situations that they cannot get out of, and it is draining you, and it is hurting you. And so I'm here to encourage you this morning that even though you may be feeling that way today, as the old preacher said, trouble won't last always. Is there a lesson in what you're going through? Is there a lesson in all of this? Is the lesson that you don't need to pick somebody like him or her again? Is that the lesson? Is the lesson that there has to be something on the inside of us that hey, I run into these type of people because my self-esteem is not God esteem. And that people run over me because I don't think much of myself. Maybe the lesson is that I need to believe what God said in his word, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And so if I believe that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, then I won't settle. That's how you apply God's word to your own life. I know that I'm a blessed man. I know that God has done great things in my life in such a short period of time. But what frustrates me is sometimes about the people of God is that I cannot push you to where I believe that you should go. I can only say, here's the food. Here's what you can do. Here's some strategies. Here's some ideas. Here's how God has blessed me. Not the smartest person on the corner. But God has made me the smartest person on the corner because I rely on him to give me the answers when I don't have them. And guess what? This Bible is not just for me. It's for everyone. The word is accessible to all. That's why I'll preach it continually, 52 weeks out of the year, Thursdays, whatever type of day, Wednesdays, whatever it is, I will continue to communicate that because I believe that those people who do follow and hold on to his word, even when things are not going right, that it will be, make sure they will bring fruit in your life. God never said that you would not have trouble. He never said that you would not have relatives that would not die, people that would not walk out on you, that you would never lose any jobs, that you would be disease-free all your life. Things happen. But either we can become bitter or we can become better. Either we trust God that he has a plan for our life or we're going to trust our own plans and then we end up going in circles for another 10 years in a row. I'm sorry, I can't waste time. And I don't want to waste your time. Here's the strategy. The people of God are seen like sheep. Here's the strategy. Here's the food for you to eat. The word that you need to eat is, and to consume on this Sunday morning is that you need to put more on God. Rely more on him. Talk to him. Watch his word. Listen to his word. Carry it out in your life on a regular basis. And don't think that God is just only God when you're being blessed. Or when you got a man, or when you got a woman, or when you got a family, or when everything is going right, or when the church is full. God is still God, whether there's people here or people are not here. Whether people give or whether they don't give, God is still here. It's just that people got to be obedient. That's the key. That's what you want to know, what separates individuals? Obedience. You want to know the formula that I follow in my own personal life? Faith and obedience. Faith in God. And obedience to his word. You could just believe, but if you believe in God, but don't do what he say, then you're not going to go anywhere. If you just do what he say, but don't believe in God, then you're just being religious. And you're just following laws and tenets and rules. There's over 6,131 laws in the Old Testament, rules and regulations. And I can guarantee you not everyone follows every one of them. Or else there will be a trail of blood pouring out of everyone's home. That did. And we don't do that. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, and he died so that we didn't have to. And then last but not least, number 7, and Allah, I'm done. To be humble and don't worry. One of the things I discovered last night in my studies is that pride can actually lead to worry. Pride can lead to worry. And I had to think on that and I had to mull on that. But this is what the word says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you, put your head, promote you, give you what you need, give you favor, give you blessings at the proper time, casting all your anxiety, your fears on him because he cares for you. Don't be prideful. Being prideful means that you're trying to make things happen when you have no power to do so. How can you add more height to yourself? As the scripture says, you can't add 3 more inches to your height by worrying about what you cannot control. You do the best that you can and you move on. And then when you can't go another further, then you give it to God. You see the strategy? That's an important strategy. When you can't go any further yourself, then you have to allow for God to step in. But if you go to your last and your maximum and then you don't rely on God, but then you keep on going to yourself as a resource, then what's going to happen is that you're going to burn out. Because you're not designed to be eternal and you're not designed to be a Messiah, to move forward. So as I conclude, and I'm done for this morning, when it comes to dependence on God, it doesn't mean pray and do nothing or act foolishly by proving that we depend on God when it doesn't apply, such as depend on God to drive me home. Depend on God to get me out of the bed this morning to go to church and be to church on time. Depend on God to give me a new job without applying for any jobs. Depend on God to make peace in my home without communicating. In reality, faith without works is dead. Such a small statement, but it's a revolutionary statement, because you can believe God, but if you don't have any actions behind that, then guess what's going to happen this time next year? You're going to be in the same place. And you will be left behind. You also need to understand that while salvation is unconditional, through the grace alone and faith alone, by Christ alone, and that God is the one who saves us and not we ourselves, being blessed, on the other hand, and getting ahead in life is surely conditional. It is a partnership. You got to do something first. You have to step out first. When you're early in your walk in Jesus Christ, then he manifested things like Moses. I've said this over the years. He manifested things like Moses did to the children of Israel. He opened up the waters first. He provided the miracle first, and that built up your faith. Then you move forward, right? Right. You got newly saved. Things started happening. Things start transforming. Things start opening up, like left and right. Marriages, cars, houses, land, all this stuff started happening all around you because God performed a miracle, and he says, I want you to know that I'm real. I want you to know that I could transform your heart. I want you to know that I'm the door and that you should keep me first. And so I'm going to manifest greatly in your life in the very beginning. But then as time goes on, he stops parting the waters to the left and to the right. He stops showing you what you should be able to move towards. And then he starts changing. He begins to treat us like the Joshua generation. In other words, I'm not going to show you another sign. I don't need for you to follow horoscopes. And that's another thing altogether. I might have to preach like a 2-week message on how Christians should not follow no horoscopes. How in the world are you going to follow a sign that God created himself? And he's the creator. So you're going to a created thing for answers that doesn't even apply around the world? It's not even global. It's not even universal. As stars burn out? So if stars burn out, then guess what? Your number one zodiac sign don't even exist anymore. But God is still here. So therefore, we should go to him for answers. Our sign is the Holy Spirit, not anything else. But you got to do what you want to do. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I hope that you have the same type of mindset as well. That salvation is unconditional, but blessing is surely conditional. And sometimes we are our own worst enemy for progress. So what should you do? Well, you must position yourself accordingly. Work diligently. Improve yourself. Try hard despite failures. And another thing that can hinder you, your progress, is mumbling and complaining. I'm so tired and weary. I can't go any further. I just can't do it. I just can't make it. It's the stuff that's going on around me. You know how many people have gone through the same thing and have gone further? Because they did not let their situation or their circumstances dictate the rest of their life. And so finally, it's the moments like these when we can't do anything else, we can't go another further, but we need a breakthrough. It's those type of moments when we must say that's on God and trust him regardless of the outcome. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God. We bless your holy name. I thank you for these, your people, Heavenly Father. I pray that you encourage them even this morning, Heavenly Father, through whatever situation or circumstance that they're going through. I pray against the spirit of hopelessness and depression that is permeating this place this morning. Let them know that there is another side of through, and that they can go through the valley, and that if there's a shadow, that means the sun is right around the corner. Let them know, Heavenly Father, that things are not permanent and that they are not stuck. They only need to pull their head out of the sand and move and march forward by faith and not by sight. We thank you, Lord God, for these, your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. That's on God. That's what I believe. That's what I'm doing. I'm making that a personal goal. People don't give. What are we going to do for rent? That's on God. Individuals are not serving. That's on God. People are not unifying. That's on God. In other words, God knows what type of work he needs to have accomplished in this area and in this community. And therefore, we must trust him that he has a plan and a pattern and that he knows what he's doing. He would not bring us this far, divine truth, just to leave us at this moment, just to crumble and shrivel and not move any further. He won't let us quit. Trust me, I've thought about it multiple times. We just have to trust him and depend on him. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on, stand to your feet. I'm done. I believe the nachos are cracking in the distance. We do have Snack Shack today. It is available so that you don't have to rush to McDonald's, Culver's, and spend $49 for unhealthy things. All right? Amen, amen, amen. All hearts and minds clear? Hearts and minds clear? All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor? Oh, Lord. Now, y'all know y'all came in here this morning dragging and all slow and stuff like that and all discouraged. All right, fake it this time. You know how to fake stuff. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God wants your dreams and visions realized. Be blessed, people of God.